It's beyond New York State, so it'll give me the opportunity to influence what happens in other states with students across the country.
It's the local version of what the president of this country is doing on a national level.
Maybe this pitch will be the last pitch that I might throw to finish and win this championship.
Hey there, it's Ian Pickus, WAMC's news director. Hope you're doing well. On this episode of the news podcast, the New York State Education Commissioner is stepping down. The mayor of Troy vetoes the latest Sanctuary City measure. And I'll preview this weekend's Baseball Hall of Fame inductions in Cooperstown. Let's start with that surprise announcement in Albany. New York State Education Commissioner Mary Ellen Elia abruptly resigned on Monday. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt has the details.
Elia, who is the first female commissioner in the history of the state education department, says she decided now is the right time to leave the post. She's agreed to accept a job with a national firm that works to turn around struggling public schools.
Very excited about that opportunity. It plays to the things that I have most experience in and the work that I want to continue doing. And it's beyond New York State, so it'll give me the opportunity to influence what happens in other states with students across the country.
Elia says the unnamed firm deals with policy and that she will not be doing any lobbying.
I've talked long and hard about the fact that I do not believe that children in politics match well.
Elia says she did not notify the Board of Regents or its Chancellor, Betty Rosa, in advance of her announcement, saying she wanted to tell everyone the news at once. She says she is not leaving because of any disharmony between the commissioner and the board. In a statement, Regents Chancellor Rosa thanked the commissioner for her tireless and unwavering service to New York State's children. Elia took over as education commissioner in 2015 after former education commissioner John King left to work for the Obama administration. She helped calm the waters after controversy over the implementation of the Common Core learning standards and what some parents and teachers said was excessive testing in the schools that led to boycotts of the tests.
I would go into meetings with parents, and they were so upset they could hardly articulate the things they were upset about. And many of them, parents, also teachers, and teachers felt like they had been attacked in New York.
Elia remained committed to standardized testing, though she oversaw a streamlining and shortening of the exams, and she encouraged more input from teachers. She also defended the use of computerized exams, even when major software glitches postponed some of the tests for the past 2 years in a row. The head of the New York State School Boards Association, Tim Creamer, says he's not totally surprised by Elia's announcement, but he says he was caught short by the timing.
She probably got to the place where she said, there's other things I want to do in my life, and I'm ready to go. We're sorry to see her go. She's been a good commissioner.
Creamer also credits Elia with smoothing over heated disputes over the Common Core learning standards and associated teacher evaluations.
She really helped bring down the temperature. When she arrived, it was a very tumultuous time. We had the whole issues around Common Core learning standards and teacher and principal evaluations just on fire. And she came in and she started this listening tour going around the state, talking to every group she could think of, and really, I think, developed some good relationships with people in the field who felt confidence in the fact that she was going to be reasonable in her approach and would listen and would react to some of the things that they had to say. And I think she did that quite effectively.
A statement from the state's largest teachers union, New York State United Teachers, was more measured. The union says it wishes Elia well in her new endeavors, but says it hopes the next commissioner works to fix what NYSET says is the broken state testing system for children in grades 3-8. Elia, a Buffalo area native, began her career teaching in public schools in Amherst. Before becoming education commissioner in New York, she headed the Hillsborough County School District, a large district which includes Tampa, Florida. She was fired from that job after clashing with the school board, but her achievements there, including developing better teacher performance reviews, were praised. No timetable for a replacement for the commissioner or for an interim commissioner has been set. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
The Democratic mayor of Troy, New York, has vetoed a Sanctuary City measure passed by the city council. WAMC's Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas has that one.
After months of debate, Thursday night, the city council voted 4-3 to pass the FACT Act, formerly known as Sanctuary City Resolution 113. The measure was sent on to Mayor Patrick Madden, who told reporters after the meeting there is no meaning to the term Sanctuary City, and he doesn't consider Troy to be a sanctuary city under the resolution. Madden doubled down late Friday afternoon when his office announced he had vetoed the measure. Immigrant advocacy group Ice Free Capital District joined Troy Democratic Socialists of America in condemning the veto, claiming the Democratic mayor, quote, aligned himself with the area's most xenophobic, far-right, extremist elected officials, namely Republican Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin and Republican Sheriff Patrick Russo. Troy DSA member David Banks.
The Democrats hold a supermajority on the city council. That means it's veto-proof. They could pass almost anything they wanted, and a sanctuary city resolution would be something that is quite in line with the Democratic Party here in New York State, and we appear to be far to the right of that.
Republican City Council President Carmela Mantello voted against the FACT Act, announcing Monday the first public hearing for a local law mandating a referendum to decide the sanctuary city question.
So moving forward now, my local law that I've sponsored will have three public hearings, one being Tuesday night at the Veterans of Lansingburg in the Berg, and it's at 6 p.m. I encourage all Troy folks to attend. The following week we'll have one on the east side. I'm not going to keep it down at City Hall, much like Mr. Vesember did. I'm going to bring it into the neighborhoods to really hear from folks on both sides of the aisle. What this will do will force a referendum if the council supports the local law in August. It will go to referendum in November. So I'm hopeful that my colleagues support it, let the people decide, and then we'll move forward.
District 3 Councilor Colleen Murtaugh-Parator is calling for fellow Democrats to caucus as soon as possible.
So we can decide what we're going to do next.
Do you think it might be a wise idea to go with this referendum and let the people of Troy decide?
The people of Troy already did decide. They decided on November 7th, 2017, when they voted into office a new, fresh, dynamic, Democratic majority, when they voted for me, Colleen Parator, David Bessember, Anasha Cummings, T.J. Kennedy. The people of Troy did decide. They voted for us, and it's our duly elected responsibility to become informed and to listen and to make our best decisions and to vote on important matters facing the city of Troy. This idea of putting it up for a referendum is a pure political move. It's the local version of what the president of this country is doing on a national level, polarizing people.
Councilor David Bessember.
I think it is disappointing that the mayor decided to veto our resolution and unclear as to why he did that, particularly as our resolution mirrors the executive memo he introduced on July 2nd.
The Madden administration responded to a request for comment by email, stating, quote, the administration is moving forward with an ambitious agenda focused on neighborhood investment and economic growth, including renovations to the South Troy Pool, demolition of the former Leonard Hospital in Lansingburg, construction of the South Troy Industrial Park Road, and redevelopment of Monument Square. Madden is running for a second term against Republican Tom Riehl, who is also against the sanctuary movement. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
And the first unanimous inductee in the history of the National Baseball Hall of Fame leads the class of six being enshrined this weekend in Cooperstown. The Hall has been inducting baseball's greats since the eye-popping first class of Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, Walter Johnson, Christy Mathewson, and Ty Cobb in 1936. But in his first year of eligibility, closer Mariano Rivera of the Yankees was the first to appear on every single baseball writer's ballot.
I remember receiving the call, and when they told me about it, I was in my house. I was here in my house, and my wife, my boys, you know, the whole family here, some kind of shout. My God, it was amazing, amazing, great feeling. It feels like, I told someone that it feels like when you just won the championship, the World Series, you know, that level.
For almost two decades, this sound in the ninth inning at Yankee Stadium almost always meant one thing. New York was about to ice the game. Rivera, the all-time saves leader, won five World Series with the Yankees over 19 years before retiring in 2013. He's a 13-time All-Star with a 2.21 ERA, all stats that brought the wiry son of a Panamanian fisherman to baseball immortality, largely thanks to a usually unhittable cutter. Rivera was even better in October, and he talked about his mindset during high-stress postseason appearances.
You focus on and the next pitch, and the pitch by pitch. That's what I focus on, and you know, knowing that maybe this pitch will be the last pitch that I might throw to finish and win this championship. You know, it's something that you don't want to go ahead. You know, you need to control those emotions.
Rivera pitched in 96 playoff games, saving 42, of course, with a .7 ERA.
I love it. I have passion for it. You know, and I maybe believe that was the situation that my abilities went to a different level. Thank God, and my concentration level was even higher than the regular season.
Also being inducted Sunday at 1:30 at the Clark Sports Center are Lee Smith, Edgar Martinez, Roy Halladay posthumously, Harold Baines, and Mike Mussina. Rivera and Mussina were righty teammates on the Yankees after Moose came over from Baltimore. Over 18 seasons, the starter relied on precision off-speed pitches to rack up 2,813 strikeouts. He finished in the top six in Cy Young voting 9 times. Mussina sees his induction as something of a reunion.
Ripken and Alomar, now Harold, Mariano, Lee Smith was actually the closer in Baltimore for a couple seasons. I played with Randy Johnson in New York. So you know, there's a lot of guys. Joe Torre was my manager. There's a lot of guys that are, you know, that are teammates or were teammates for years that are going to be there. So it's kind of neat and to be in a situation like this with guys that you played with is really special.
Mussina, who was known for his even demeanor and intense focus, tried to avoid hurt feelings in New York or Baltimore by opting for a blank hat on his plaque.
Both organizations were tremendously involved in this, and I just don't feel right picking one over the other. So the decision to go in without one logo versus the other logo, it was the only decision that I could make that I felt good about.
More than 50 Hall of Famers will be heading to upstate New York for the ceremony, but it carries some melancholy. Halladay, a 2-time Cy Young winner who was one of the dominant pitchers of his era, died in a plane crash in 2017. In 2010, he threw 2 no-hitters for the Phillies, a playoff no-no against the Reds, and a perfect game against Miami back in May. He's also going in with a blank hat. Well, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.